As I was preparing this week and reading and listening to sermons, I heard a question that was posed, and I want to pose this question to you. I wish I could take credit for this because it's really funny. But have you ever had somebody do the dishes at you rather than for you? Think about that. Have you ever had someone do the dishes at you rather than for you? If you've never had someone do the dishes at you, then that's perfectly fine. It's a very uncomfortable feeling. It's that person who wants someone else to help them, so they're avidly scrubbing the dish and staring at you the whole time. With their eyes, they're saying, "You need to get over here and help me right now." I love that question because we've all probably been there in one way, shape, or form, whether on the receiving end or on the giving end, or perhaps both. But I share that with you this morning because that's exactly what's happening in this passage. We see into the hearts of Martha and Mary this morning, and we see their priorities start to get exposed. Martha is avidly serving, and Mary is avidly listening. And as Jesus engages with them, he really wants them to notice what's going on. He wants them to see that sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him and being in relationship with him is far more important than any service that we can ever do for him. And he's not saying that service is not important, but he is saying that relationship must come first. Brian Salter writes of this. He says, "Service to Jesus becomes dangerously distorted when sitting with God is ignored." Service to Jesus becomes dangerously distorted when sitting with God is ignored. And what we see is Martha has fallen into the temptation of doing ministry at Jesus rather than for him. And he wants to gently remind her of his relationship with her and call her to slow down and to see what is happening here. So here's what I would like us to see this morning. Our service to Jesus starts with our relationship to him. Our service to Jesus starts with our relationship to him. And we're going to first see this in Martha's misplaced service. And we're going to next see that in Mary's prioritized relationship. So let's first begin by looking at this misplaced service on behalf of Martha. The context of this passage, they're coming down from a village. Luke does not name this village, but we can assume it is Bethany, where this house was. John makes note of this in John 11 and 12. And whether or not this particular event happened around the same time that John describes events in Bethany is less important. The content is what is key here. And this is actually coming off the heels of the passage from last week. There's a strong connection between these two passages. As we consider the story from last week with the law expert, we saw a man who was testing the teachings of Jesus. And here we see a woman basking in the teachings of Jesus. So we see Martha here, and she's busy. And Martha often gets a bad rap, and rightfully so in some ways. But I want to point out some positives in Martha before we get to the negatives. She has the gift of hospitality. Not everybody has the gift of hospitality. Romans 12:13 says, "Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms." Martha was committed to serving whoever was in her home. And that's a good and wonderful thing, and we should celebrate that. We should try to emulate that. This is not something that we should critique about her behavior. This is a good and beautiful thing. And while she's hustling and bustling, there are many people sitting and listening and being attentive listeners to Jesus. But we start to see Martha's heart revealed in verse 40. If you will draw your attention there, Martha was distracted with much serving. This word distracted in the Greek means to be pulled away from or dragged away from something. So she is being pulled away from something through her service. And we can assume that Martha would love to be able to stop and listen to Jesus as well, but she is so busy catching little bits of what Jesus is saying as she's moving around the house. But her commitment to serving took priority in that moment. It's easy to let good things get in the way of better things. Martha wants Jesus to make Mary get up and do something. This is a bold and very dangerous thing to do for us. When we start to tell Jesus what we want him to do, as opposed to what his will is. Verse 40, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Then tell her to help me. You've probably seen this play out before, as we said earlier, doing the dishes at you. She's probably making a lot of noise, moving about the house, giving it that little extra as she's making it known that she's doing all the work. One commentator wrote this, she's got a rag in one hand and the other hand on her hip. She means business here. She wants people to know that she is feeling anxiety and stress for doing all these things, and no one else seems to be helping. Martha's frustration, and notice that she doesn't go to the person that she's frustrated with. She doesn't go to Mary and ask her to help. This is where we often get relationships so wrong. When we go around the person as opposed to the person. And notice what she's doing. She's distancing herself from her sister. My sister. Lord, can you tell my sister? It almost has that ring of when a spouse says, do you see what your son is doing? Or your daughter said. This is intentional distancing. And notice the personal pronouns that she's constantly using. Me, my, me. Ultimately, she's violating the number one rule of hospitality, which is making it about ourselves. Martha's complaint to Jesus has the same attitude as the older brother in the prodigal son parable. The older brother says to the father, look, these many years I have served you. I have never disobeyed your command, yet you've never given me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. The prodigal son says, look, followed by five me's and my's. And here, Martha says, Lord, do you not care? She's attributing motive followed by three me's and my's. And this is where her fault comes into play. This is where her service has become misplaced and misguided. I think there's a cultural moment that was captured so well by Disney many years ago in the movie Finding Nemo, when you find a bunch of seagulls sitting on a rock, and what do they say? Mine, 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 over and over, so focused on themselves. You and I are just like those seagulls. Even in our best moments when we have great intentions, our sin causes us to turn inward and desire what we want out of a situation. Me, 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 mine, mine, mine. And if we're not careful, then if we don't prioritize our relationship with Christ first, then our service will always fall into that danger of being about ourselves. Ministry and service are wonderful things. Hospitality is a wonderful thing. Yet if we don't do it for the glory of Jesus, then we're going to be just like Martha in this passage, distracted from things that are so much better than the good things. We must learn to slow down. Doing service for Jesus, hospitality, all the wonderful things that come with ministering to others are so beautiful and important, but we have to slow down, focus on Christ, and from there, our service must come. And that's how we see Martha's misplaced priorities here, her misplaced service. So let's look at what Jesus says to Martha, and we see Mary's relationship, her prioritized relationship with Jesus. She sits at Jesus' feet and listened. To sit at the feet of a teacher was to put yourself under their tutelage, to be a disciple of them. And Mary is actually violating a major cultural issue here. She is sitting at the feet of Jesus. At that time, a woman was not allowed to sit at the feet of a rabbi. In fact, she was not supposed to be in the living room at all. But she doesn't care. She wants to listen to Jesus. This is just as scandalous as the Good Samaritan being the hero a few weeks ago, stopping to help the Jew. And perhaps this contributed to Martha's frustration, because she's in the kitchen working and she is saying, "You shouldn't even be in there. You should be in here helping me." But Jesus allows this to happen. In fact, he encourages it. He's inviting Mary to continue to listen and to engage in relationship with him. Think of the Samaritan from the previous passage. Jesus is constantly using these cultural shaking moments to teach us about who he is and what he's doing. And he uses these shocking moments to get our attention, to get us to look up. Martha's gift was that she was great at serving. Mary's gift was she was a great listener. Not all of us are great listeners, just like not all of us are great at hospitality. These are two good gifts, but one should take priority. Notice the contrast from the law expert from last week. She is sitting and listening, while the law expert was standing to confront. Not many of us would fall into the category of being a good listener. And the reason is, and you probably struggle with this just as well as I do, that when we're listening to somebody, what do we tend to be doing? We're thinking about what we want to say next. We're thinking about what we want to contribute to the conversation. But Jesus is saying, slow down. Slow down and listen, just as Mary did. She sits and listen. She is deeply convinced of her need of Jesus. And notice that Jesus does not take sides here. He gently engages Martha in this. He's not against activity. In fact, he just sent 72 people out to go and do things. He's not opposed to this. He does not send Mary to help Martha either. Nor does he tell Martha to stop her service. He is simply saying, evaluate and prioritize a few things. Jesus does not disapprove of Martha's activities, but he disapproves of her attitude. And that is a real thing that you and I have to face each and every day. The real issue was not who was or was not doing something, but rather the issue was the relationship. Jesus loves them both, and he speaks to them both here. He says, "Martha, Martha." This double repetition communicates his compassion to her. The repetition of someone's name on the lips of Jesus was never meant in a demeaning way or a way of shaming them, but rather out of compassion and care. "Martha, Martha, you're missing something." This gentle call reminds me of Mark 2:19, when Jesus asked the question, "Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast on that day." Martha struggled with letting certain things go. Mary recognizes this moment. She's sitting at Jesus' feet. She knows that he won't be there with her always, and she's soaking it all in. "One thing is necessary," Jesus tells Martha. Martha had a list of necessary things. But one thing is necessary. Jesus narrows it down for her. And interestingly, in the synagogue, this particular term, "one thing necessary" or "one thing needful," would have referred to the study of the Torah. And Jesus is putting himself above that. He's saying, relationship with me is far more important than even the best and good things. And he definitely answers the lawyer's question from verses 25 to 26. "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That answer is to know me. That answer is to listen to me. One thing necessary. Jesus is pointing us to himself. Pointing us to him. He's pointing Martha to himself. This thing necessary wasn't the next thing on her to-do list, but it was to sit and enjoy him. And he points out Mary's good portion here. Mary has chosen the good portion. This word often refers to a meal, so Jesus is making a connection to what Martha's doing. While Martha was busy trying to prepare a meal, Mary's feasting on one. She's chosen the good portion of the meal. Jesus loves when we serve him, but he loves to be in relationship with us. If you go and read Mark 3:14, it says, "And he appointed the 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach." Notice, the relationship, be with him, comes first, and then they go out to preach. Then the service comes. Both are good, but one has to have the priority. Jesus is always reprioritizing things in our lives, and sometimes we don't like that. But we're called to reflect and to take inventory of the things that we find most important. And oftentimes those things are good. But there are better things. And he's calling us to that. In sitting at Jesus' feet, she's in no way trying to communicate things like hospitality are not important. She's not neglecting her sister because she has disdain or frustration with her sister. She's neglecting the service because she's trying to learn and take it all in. She's simply saying that in this moment, I'm going to prioritize the most important thing, because that important thing won't be with me forever. We see this so well in John 12:1-8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and appointed the feet, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have with you, but you do not always have me." Mary recognizes the beauty of who is sitting in front of her, and she's engaging that. She's engaging with him. There's a picture that went viral recently, and I'm going to ask the guys in the back to share this with you. Perhaps you saw this as it happened. Perhaps you saw the tweets that went viral after this moment happened. This is the moment where LeBron James broke Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's scoring record, his NBA record. This was in February 7th of this year. And if you'll notice that everybody in the background is doing the same thing. They all have their phones out, and they're holding it up, trying to record this moment. But you'll notice there's one dude, one guy, and he is just chilling. He is just, you know, sitting there, legs kind of crossed a little bit. He's just soaking it in. And this picture went viral because this is Phil Knight, and he is the founder of Nike. He signed LeBron James to a contract years and years before. And instead of hiding behind a phone and getting distracted by, I have to record this so that I can watch this forever, he's just watching it. Just watching it. One tweet went out, "Phil Knight, no phone, just vibes." Some people know how to just soak in a moment. Some people know and recognize that there's a time for that other stuff, but right now, I'm just going to focus on this. Yes, all those people can go back and watch the recording that they had on their phones, but they probably didn't actually see it happen live because they were staring at their phone. And here, Mary is soaking it in. She's saying, "This is a beautiful moment, and I'm just going to experience it." All of our busyness needs to be simplified because Jesus cares about us and his relationship with us far more than what we could do for him. This interaction from today's passage shows us the importance of God's word in our lives. This is where we engage with Christ, where we learn how to be more like Christ. And he's saying, come to me. Come and experience this. So, some encouragement for us today, for the Marthas in the room. Sometimes it's okay to slow down. Sometimes it's okay for us to recognize that we busy ourselves so much. And sometimes we need to just step back and spend time with Christ. For the Marys in the room, be patient with the Marthas. They're doing good work. They're doing great work. In fact, if you're a Martha here in this room, thank you so much for all you do for the kingdom. We need people like you, but we also need the Marys to help us to learn, to give us examples of how to listen. It's good to love Jesus by serving him as Martha did, but it's better to know and love Jesus by listening to him. Service is essential to the Christian's life, but more important is our life in Jesus. And we do this by spending time in his word, and we do this by spending time with one another in fellowship so that we can encourage one another, so that we can learn how to serve and learn how to listen from each other. The irony here is that Martha, in her service to Jesus, she's not seeing him, but Jesus invites her to see him, invites her to know him. Jesus wants us to find hospitality in our hearts, to listen to his call. And what we can learn from this passage is that no matter who we are, whether we are the Martha or the Mary or some kind of combination of the two, he welcomes us. He is hospitable to us. He calls us into relationship with him. In our service to him, who gets the credit? Do we desire some of that? Or do we want it all to go to Christ? That's a question that we need to consider this morning. It's so hard for all of us to not seek some sort of credit. You know, even the people that just love serving people love that little bit of affirmation thrown in. And that's good. And we should affirm those people. And we should affirm one another. But it is so hard, and we need to recognize the sinfulness of our hearts, because we're always going to want it to be about us if we're not careful, pastors included. Okay? We all struggle with this. We all have these temptations. But there's a beautiful thing that I don't want you to miss here. Martha gets it. Let's read John 11, 21 to 27. Well, if you'll just give me one moment, I'll pull it up. John 11, verses 21 to 27. It says this. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall not die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. You are the Son of God who is coming into the world." Martha makes one of the great confessions of the New Testament. And why can she do this? Because she chose the good portion. She chose the good portion. She chose to follow Christ, to engage with him, to prioritize her relationship with him. Her service never ended. In fact, in this moment, she actually ran from her house. Doing hospitality, she ran from her house to seek out Christ. That's choosing the good portion. And that is what Jesus calls all of us to do. He doesn't call us to stop serving, but he calls us to prioritize our relationship with him so that we can know who he is, what he's done for us, and how that transforms how we live. And that actually shapes our service to him. So let that be our prayer this morning. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we ask for your mercy and grace to be upon us. We thank you that you love your people so well that you draw them into relationship. You call them to serve. But Lord, we thank you that that service is directed by you. And that service is directed by how you have called us to live and how you call us to serve one another. We pray this morning that you would work in our hearts, Lord. Teach us what it means to follow you. Teach us how to be good listeners. Teach us how to serve. And we ask that as we come to your table this morning, that we would feast on the good portion. That you would be our King. That you would show us what it means to listen and follow you. We pray all of this in Christ's holy and wonderful name. Amen.